few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
What is up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And I remembered it this time. Sitting to my left is my stunningly beautiful wife, Nancy. She's over there. Say hi, hon.
Hi.
You're supposed to say hi, hon.
Hi, hon.
yeah, we got another episode for you today, this week, this day. We
those words are just gliding off your tongue.
I'm tongue tied. All right. See, now I'm all fluttered, twistified, Twitter page. I don't
Twitter
even know.
Baited. Yeah.
So no, we have another wonderful episode for you today. Something a little special, something a little foreign, something kind of spooky. But before we get into that, the queen of would you rathers is going to hit us up, or hit me up, hit you folks up, hit us all up with another would you rather. So, hon, please take it away. Give us the would you rather.
All right. This is a little unconventional for the usual because it doesn't involve torture.
And we did talk about this, but I have not thought about it yet. So, okay, go ahead.
Would you rather have... Would you rather have a head too small for your body or a head too big for your body?
Okay. So would I rather be a toothpick head or a balloon head?
A walking candy apple.
A walking candy apple. That bird flew right in your head.
Like you couldn't avoid it. Never seen that before. Bird into a woman's head.
I think, okay, all right, me personally, I have a hard time finding hats as it is, so the big head would be even more of a pain in the ass.
It's hard for a hat person, I know.
It is. Like, the hats we get at work, I mean, we get ball caps at work, and, you know, it's branded for the company I work for.
Bimbo.
Bimbo Bakeries. Just so stupid. Sarah Lee. But, the ball cap sits so high on my head, I can't wear it. I have to buy like a normal off the rack hat. So I'm going with the small head on a normal body. And at least then I can buy, you know, normal hats or wear normal hats.
So you want a peanut head for like practical reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like even the Irish wool, what do you call it? The Scully hat.
Yeah.
The one you got me, beautiful hat, very nice hat, keeps my head warm, but I don't wear it as often as I'd like to because it sits so high on my head.
So high atop your gargantuan cranium.
I have a tall head, and
I think, do you stretch out the neck holes of sweaters?
No, I don't go that far.
Okay, so
it's a tall head. It's not a big, it's not a wide head. It's tall.
I don't, okay. Well, you're talking about like the length from like...
I'm talking like from my eyebrows up.
See, I wouldn't think, to me it looks just like cone-like.
I was birthed naturally. So, yeah, I was birthed naturally.
So it's like putting a baseball cap on a cone head.
Essentially, yeah, like Dan Aykroyd. In
yeah,
Coneheads.
Yeah.
Who was his wife? Jane.
Erin Moriarty. I don't know. I'm thinking about Neighbors. Jane Curtin.
Yes, Jane Curtin. Yeah.
I was thinking about Neighbors, not
Neighbors.
Yeah, the movie Neighbors.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd, Erin Moriarty, John Belushi.
I'm drawing a blank. Oh. The only Neighbors movie I know is with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne.
Oh, no. It's actually a really good kind of creepy...
Is it a thriller? or horror?
It's a horror movie, but it's a comedy horror.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't.
It's really fun. Well, I love John Belushi, so you would probably love watching it. It was back before the Blues Brothers, I think.
See, maybe. That movie just completely. I didn't.
Yeah, I'm usually not a real big fan of Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd is not funny.
But in Neighbors, he was kind of creepy, and it's not like anything that you've ever seen Dan Aykroyd in.
Okay, well, we'll have to look for that one then. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't even know that I've ever heard it. Like I said, the only Neighbors I know is the one with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, and then what was the
classic?
I can't think of his name. Zac Efron.
Yeah, no, the classic is
okay. All right. So, okay, what would you pick? I'm going with the small head on a normal body. What are you picking?
I am going to say I would also choose the pinhead just because.
It's not a pinhead. It's just a small head. I don't mean to interrupt. Okay. So are we talking like, you know the Airheads commercial? The taffy Airheads?
There's a commercial?
Yeah. And the guy's got like the balloon head.
Okay.
Okay. Or like, okay, for the big head. But then for like the small head, are we talking like the shrunken head guy from like Beetlejuice? Or are we talking just like,
I'm just, well,
like small, like a 10-year-old head on a 45-year-old body.
Okay. Let me kind of break this down for you. My choice is twofold.
Okay.
The first is that if you ever come across somebody that has a puny body and a big head.
Okay.
The first thing you think is, why is their head so big for their body, right?
Or you said a puny head.
Did I say puny?
Okay. Yeah.
A big head, puny body.
Okay. Do you have an example?
Well, yeah, the woman that was on Shit-Face Twat.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah. All right. Yep.
So that's the first reason.
Stay tuned. That movie's coming up. Okay.
The second reason would be when I'm shopping for my different...
For your girls.
Coiffures.
for your hair.
When I'm shopping for my hair, there's so many better discounts if it comes in petite, and I can't... They don't fit.
Really?
Yeah.
How much smaller of... We've said it before. Nancy wears wigs. Okay. So how much smaller is a petite-sized wig than, like, the wig that you wear now?
Well, it's very small when you're wearing one, you know it, because there's certain ways that, I mean, you can't, like, chuck it behind your ear. I mean, if you're like me that has just, like, peach fuzz.
Yeah.
Like 3 centimeters of peach fuzz.
Right.
You can't put it on and tuck it behind your ears because it doesn't come over the hair that would come over your ears at that point.
Hmm.
In addition to that, it creeps up on the back. And they usually do a very good job.
So then it's basically just like a ball cap riding up high.
Yeah,
on your head.
Yeah. They usually do a very good job of making like the hairline and back long enough so that it covers like all bases.
Mm-hmm.
But I've found that it doesn't sit right on my head. It's going for the style that I'm wearing, it has a completely different look.
Okay.
Because of where it's sitting on my head.
Do they have different styles?
No, they have all the styles that you would get.
Yeah.
And they come in average, petite, and large.
Okay.
I have a couple that are too large, and that's kind of awkward, but they do have these things that you can use, like Velcro.
Do they slide off your head?
The petite?
No, the larges.
No. I mean, they have a thing, a Velcro adjuster, so you can tighten it.
Oh, okay. Could you imagine that? Like, go walking around through the office and all of a sudden,
well, right.
Just, whoop, right off your
at least with the larges, you can adjust the size. With the okay. petites, you have to kind of like...
You'd have to squeeze your head into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got to make sure that tape is on good.
About once a month, you're buying new tape.
Well, yeah.
Double-sided tape.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
By now, we're 31 episodes in. If anybody,
when my monthly tape wig tape buying has anything to do with anything, but all right.
Because it has to do with your hair. We're 31 episodes in. If people don't know that you don't, that you have alopecia and that I shave your head and that you wear wigs, then they're obviously brand new listeners. I get that. Hello, new listeners.
I get that. But the amount of wig tape that I buy in a given month is nobody's business but my own.
It was, as you say, apropos to the conversation.
Okay.
All right. So, okay. So we're both picking the tiny heads on a normal body. but it did. Okay. All right. So the movie that we have covered this week is actually an Argentinian movie from 2017. It scores a 6.5 on IMDb. And the name of that movie is Terrified, or Aterrados, which I guess would be the Argentinian or Spanish word for terrified. Do you remember how we found this movie? I showed this one to you because we were going through the Huesera and the... See, I finally figured out how to say it the correct way.
It's Huesera.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said Huesera.
Huesera. That's what I said. I just didn't roll my R. So this is when we were going through the Huesera,
okay,
and the Call movie. And then I put this one on and you liked it immediately. And this one actually kind of freaked you out in a couple spots.
It was a slow start, but then it was kind of like, holy shit, that's freaky.
And this one, yeah, like I said, it came out in 2017. And I know, you know, being on Instagram, I'm on Instagram more than Nancy is. So I had seen people posting stuff about this and never really thought, you know, much more about it because, you know, it was a foreign horror movie and just kind of put it to the wayside. And it was one of those situations, you know, Nancy was on the Daily Mail or Daily Sun or Daily Mail. And these movies, these articles popped up about, oh, Huesera was the super freaky movie. People were passing out. They needed barf bags, which is total bullshit for that movie.
Yeah.
And then The Call. And I was like, okay. And then something just kind of clicked because we're always looking for movies that like actually scare us.
And we gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Not The Call, because we stopped that one like 30 minutes.
But we attempted to watch it.
We did attempt to watch it. Now, Huesera, which we covered a few weeks ago, or maybe like 5 episodes, I don't even know. But we watched that one all the way through, and stupid my ass actually paid for the entire movie instead of just renting it. But we watched the whole thing, and it was not scary at all. And maybe that's because, well, I didn't find it scary at all. Maybe because I'm not a mother, but even I think you didn't find it scary.
Mm-mm.
And you have been a mother 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were a mother once, but you've had 5 children.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still a mother. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah.
But this one was just one of those movies that I had seen, like, you know, a couple of years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever it was. And I put it on and it actually had a couple frightening scenes in it that, you know, maybe made us a little bit more, I won't say like frightened, but.
Well, like I said, it was slow going, but then it was like.
It ramps once it hits that point.
Yeah. This is innovative.
Yeah. And it ramps up pretty fast. So, we're going to dig into this one. Again, Terrified from 2017, or Aterrados, or maybe I should roll. How do you roll 2 R's in a row? Is that Aterrados? I don't know.
I don't know.
But so again, it does score a 6.5 on IMDb. It is a Spanish movie or Argentinian. They do speak Spanish. There is subtitles. And I know you can find it on Shudder, and that may be the only place that it's available. So hang on, I'm going to take a sip and then we'll get rolling. Okay. So now the movie starts out. There's a woman, she's doing dishes in her kitchen, and she hears what she thinks is voices coming from the sink. Oh, I did write sink. Okay. So she hears voices from what she thinks is coming from the sink drain. And there, her husband comes in.
She kind of has a head too big for her body. I mean, I think of it.
Excuse me.
That comes more, like, obvious in the next scene, but.
The shower scene?
Yeah, because it's, like, knocking
around. Oh, yeah, okay. So, her, so she's doing dishes at the sink. And she's draining the water, and she hears what she thinks is voices coming from the sink drain. And her husband comes in, and he is telling her a story about, hey, remember that dog that we ran over a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, whatever it was, a few days ago? We thought the dog was dead, but it turns out that the dog wasn't dead, because I saw it walking down the side of the road just today. And
you think in some wicked scheme to turn a profit, God made more than one dog.
So I've got my eye on you, fucker. I'm watching you.
We got to use that line at least once a week.
We probably do, honestly. So he's telling her, her husband is telling her the story about the dog that they hit that they thought was dead but wasn't. And
a stray dog in Argentina. Imagine.
There's probably a lot of them, yeah. Isn't there? So he thinks nothing of her. She says she's doing the shirt, or she was telling him about now that she was trying to do the dishes and clean up, but she kept hearing voices and voices and voices in the sink. And he's like, well, so he bends over the sink and he doesn't hear anything. So they go to bed that night, and she gets up to shower. Now, as she's showering, the husband is still laying in bed, and he hears this, like, slamming on the wall. Mm-hmm. Slamming, slamming, slamming. And he yells at his neighbor. He's like,
thump,
fucking
thump,
knock it off. Thump. Yeah. And he's pounding on the wall, like, quit doing your home repairs or whatever. Yeah. And it stops. The thumping stops. And then he's like, he lays back down, and he's all chill and everything. And then the slamming starts again, bump, 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 or thump, thump, thump. And he's pounding again on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It stops, and then it starts again. So he's like, all right, fuck this. So he goes outside. He's talking. He's like yelling at the neighbor from outside. You got to stop doing this shit. Yeah. It's fucking like 5 a.m. Knock it off. Blah, blah, blah. And he goes back in. Noise. He goes back in. He lays back down. He hears the thump, thump, thump again. And then he's like, okay, this is fucking ridiculous. So he gets up again. And then he realizes finally that the thumping is actually coming from the bathroom. So he opens up the bathroom door and he sees his wife being like supernaturally thrown from side to side on the bathroom or in the shower.
And it's that white tile. They want to make sure that you see the contrast.
Really stark contrast. Yeah.
And you see it, blood is all over the place.
So his wife is literally being thrown back and forth in the tub against, like Nancy said, against this white
against the wall
tile. Yeah. And again, like she said, there's blood everywhere. The entire tub is covered in like smeared blood.
And each time she hits her head.
It's a giant head.
It's like a major like crash of her head against the wall.
Yeah.
So she's doing like major damage to her head.
Yep.
Like, and every time she goes back and forth, it gets even worse. I mean, her head is cracking open. And
yeah, and you can hear like real subtly, you can hear like this like. It's just like, yeah, smashing.
And she had like really super curly hair, and so it was like all drenched and caked blood. And yeah.
Matty and yeah, yeah, gross looking. So, okay, obviously the husband at this point is like, you know, what the fuck is going on?
But he sat there and watched her go back and forth.
He did, for 10 seconds.
At least, yeah, at least. And then he grabs her and says, what's going on?
Right. So, yeah, like, yeah, he does. He sees his wife go back and forth probably a good 5 or 6 times.
Just looking at it.
And he finally runs up to her, grabs her, and is like, what?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And, okay, so first of all, there's no ropes, there's no chains, there's no pulleys or any, you know, yeah, nothing.
She's not doing anything. Something is being done to her, obviously.
Yeah, she's just floating in the air, slamming back and forth on the shower.
And that is a freaky scene, too.
It was the first time we watched it, yeah. Yeah. So, she's obviously dead. Now, then we cut to the neighbor. And actually, I think it said 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, something like that. So it flashes forward to a few weeks earlier. And the neighbor who was supposedly doing the home repairs can't sleep. There's something going on in his apartment. He lives in a small little place. And
he sleeps in a twin bed, which I thought was kind of odd.
I don't know, man.
Maybe
the last time I slept in a twin bed was when I lived at home.
Maybe it's more of like a not USA thing. Like if you don't have two people, you just automatically get a twin bed. But I thought it was odd because, yeah, you don't think that you're going to sleep on a twin bed unless you're still at home and you're a kid.
Right.
And you're on your own. But right, it's just odd because, I mean, as a single guy to have a twin bed that he's sleeping in, it just seemed a little odd.
I actually did kind of think the same thing. It does seem kind of weird. Yeah. I mean, because we've been sleeping in a queen size since we've been married. But I mean, we're married. There's two of us.
What's he gonna do if he brings a lady home in the twin bed? Really?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, that's why.
So maybe he's not a ladies' man. I don't know.
That's why it fascinated us so much.
So he can't sleep. Because there's something going on in his apartment. His bed moves around while he's sleeping. He wakes up in the middle of the night and his entire room is like it looks like a hoarder's house. There's trash and junk and all of his stuff is like rearranged and messed up in his apartment. And he hasn't slept for days at least. And so he's trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. And when he finally does lay down to try and sleep, he hears, well, first his bed moves a little bit. You see it kind of like shuffle to the side. And he gets up and he looks under the bed, which is a stupid move in my opinion.
They always do that in movies.
Okay, first of all, if your bed is moving and you're not having sex, you need to get the fuck out of there.
Right. Second of all, if you think that there's something under your bed,
don't look.
Yeah. If there's something under your bed, you don't need to go look at it. So, that's the kiss of death.
So he looks under his bed and there's nothing there. So he lays back down again and the bed moves a little bit more. And then he's like, he looks again and still there's nothing there. And then suddenly the lights turn out in his room. And he's like, oh, fuck, what the fuck's going on? And somehow his bed got unplugged, or his light, I'm sorry. Somehow his light got unplugged. Dogs are going to start howling. It's 10 o'clock. We have a siren that goes off in town every day at noon and 10 p.m. And as the siren is winding down, this has nothing to do with the movie, by the way. as the siren is winding down, our dogs, we have 4 corgis, our dogs start howling at the siren.
They all do. And then they get the neighbor dogs to start howling. Every dog in the neighborhood is howling to the siren.
So, okay, back to the movie now. So his light gets unplugged and he can't see anything. And then this tall, lanky ass, janky, like mutated looking, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like 7 foot tall creature man looking thing comes climbing out from under his bed and you're like, what the fuck is that?
You know,
you're just, it's like, you kind of wonder and you're looking at it and you're like,
is it, he imagining this or
right? So
because it's freaky.
Well, it was kind of, I mean, it was nasty looking. It had like a big head, again, big head,
but at this point he's thinking he's got to be like hallucinating or dreaming or
well, right, yeah. True, because he hadn't been sleeping, so...
Yeah, this could be just a hallucination from lack of sleep, for all he knew.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, he ends up buying a video camera, and apparently they don't have digital cameras.
He has to know whether or not what he's seeing is real or just a hallucination.
So, he ends up buying a video camera, and he sets it up on his armoire, and as he does fall asleep at this point for who knows how long. I can't imagine it was very long. And as the camera is recording, you see this creature dude crawl out from under his bed. And then...
It's a thing of nightmares. It really is.
It was nasty. I mean, it was kind of freaky.
It's like looking over him, laying in bed, and it's the kind of thing that... If you're scared in the middle of the night, this is the last thing that you want to see.
So he does happen to wake up just as he's crawling out of the bed, and he pulls the covers up over his head and he starts praying. And this is one of those things, and I think we have just talked about, and maybe it was because of this movie, but like, if you see something in your bedroom and you pull the covers up over your head.
Pull the covers over your head. The covers aren't going to protect you.
It's like leaving your feet hanging out from under exactly. The covers. See, you sleep with your feet out every night.
Well, yeah, because I'm not afraid of ghosts.
I have to have my feet covered up.
When I was little, I was afraid because we watched horror movies.
Right.
I was probably maybe like 10, 11 years old. I'd sleep in bed, and then I put all my stuffed animals around my head.
To protect you.
Yeah, yeah. If I saw something when I was sleeping, it would just be a stuffed animal. You know?
See, I think that's cheating.
Well, I never saw anything, just stuffed animals, so it's not cheating. It worked.
So did the stuffed animals protect you, or did you put the
stuffed... No, they didn't protect me.
Well, okay, so let me...
Crazy.
Did you think that okay. So let me.
Yeah, Lurky from Rainbow Bright protected me in bed at night.
Well, that's why I'm at. Did you think they were going to protect you, or did you think that the whatever creature was attacking you or could potentially attack you would go for the stuffed animals before they went for you?
No, it was nothing like that. I had stuffed animals all around my head, right?
Okay.
So there is no way that I'm going to see anything that's not supposed to be there because I've got shit all over around my head.
So you used it as a visual barrier.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, see, I would have used it as like a barrier of protection.
I
couldn't see, but so that if something okay, was attacking all right. me, maybe it would
But
think.
Okay. Truth be told, I did look under my bed and check my closet before I went to bed every night.
See, I just slept on a mattress, so I wasn't afraid of that shit.
No, I made sure that if anything, I was going to see anything, it was going to be those stuffed animals.
Okay. All right. So the...
And Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Yeah. So this thing comes crawling out from under his bed. He wakes up and sees it, or pulls the covers up over his head, and as he is... sleeping, this thing crawls into the armoire that the video recorder is setting up on top of. It knocks the video recorder down, and he watches it. He's like, oh shit, you know, well, like, what is this thing? It's crawling out from under my bed. It's hiding in the armoire. And then we cut again. Couple kids playing out in the road. They're playing soccer or football.
Bouncing a ball around.
Yeah. And one of the kids goes up to the guy's...
I don't know what twinkling fingers mean.
Spigot. His water spigot.
Okay.
And he's taking sips of the water. And this guy is watching the kid. He's like, get out of here. Get away. Don't drink the water. So the kid walks away. And as he's walking.
He did take a drink of the water.
He did take a drink. But the guy says, don't drink the water. He yells at him to not drink the water
But he's
anymore.
A young kid. And he's hot. And he's playing outside. And he sees a spigot. Obviously, he's going to. I mean. That's still, even our kids, if it's hot outside and there's the hose, of course they're going to just drink hose water. They don't care.
That is a good question for all of our listeners out there. So hit us up on Instagram. Do you guys still drink out of a hose? Because, I mean, I did it when I was a kid.
I did it.
I turned out okay.
Yeah. It can't be any worse than what's coming out of your tap. It's the same thing.
Well, I mean, it all comes from the same source.
Yeah, and it's not like somebody's shitting down in your hose. It's going to be clean, right? Somebody comes and takes a shit and pushes it through your hose, then you got bigger problems. You have to use a funnel.
I wasn't thinking of that. What if they stuck it right up their butt? What if they went to the
hose?
There's a lot of perverts out there. What if they went to the end that hooked up to the spigot, stuck the end of the hose up their ass, shit in it, and then put the hose back on the spigot?
We just watched that, Dexter where Vince Masuka says, I wouldn't touch that nozzle if I were you. Yeah.
So the kid's drinking water. The guy yells at him. The kid runs off. And as he runs back into the road, he gets creamed by a bus.
Oh my gosh. It was like one of those, what was the movie?
You got to give me some more.
The bus scene was like the first scene of somebody getting creamed.
There was a bus in Final Destination?
Final Destination, the first one.
Okay.
That's where this whole thing came from.
Well, that was midway through, but yeah.
All right. Midway through?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the time that it happened in the movie. I'm saying that this bus creaming somebody was the first time people saw...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
...somebody getting creamed by a car.
Right, okay.
And then it happened on everything.
Okay, yeah. So, this kid, yes, he gets wasted by the bus, and his friend comes walking up to him, and he's just staring at him, like, you know.
Yeah, friend is kind of, like, in shock at what he just saw.
Because you would be. Yeah, I mean, of course. And the kids were, what, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10.
Yeah.
But they were younger kids. So, they have the funeral, and again, this is still, like, prior to the woman getting slammed in the shower. That sounded dirty. Getting slammed up against the walls in the shower.
This is preluding to that.
Right. So they have the funeral, and then the mother of the boy that got hit by the bus starts hearing knocking on her door.
Well, she's obviously devastated, and she's going to think that she sees or hears her deceased son, because
you would think so
at that point. You don't really think that somebody's crazy for doing that. They just went through,
I mean, that's a hell of a traumatic situation. A very traumatic situation.
So any kind of hallucination or whatever is happening, it's kind of like completely justified.
I gotta imagine that there would be, I mean, obviously the mental trauma would be devastating. Yeah,
that's her only child too,
right? It was.
And she wasn't married?
No, she wasn't, because, yeah, the cop says that they had ongoing affair for like 4 years.
Yeah.
So after the funeral, she hears this knock on her door, and she gets up to open the door, and there's nothing there. And then she kind of turns around, and as she's looking, there's like muddy or oily footprints traipsing through mm-hmm. her front foyer and hall. And so the movie cuts again. Now we run into a cop. His name is, Funes? I think it was Funes.
I don't know.
Okay. So the cop is talking to another gentleman who is like a discount Anthony Hopkins. And he's talking to this guy and he's saying, hey, like, this woman, she just lost her son, but...
This is somebody that's like an expert in that field.
The discount Anthony Hopkins.
They call him in and they say, because he's like an expert in like possession.
He was one of those guys.
Yeah.
So this cop is talking. I don't know if he was a cop or a detective, but whatever. So he's talking to this discount Anthony Hopkins and he's telling him, like, okay, I had this like relationship with this woman.
With the mom.
She had a son. The son got killed. And now I got something to show you. So they both go to this woman's house.
And you made a point to point this out. He had a relationship with the mother of the deceased child.
Right.
That would be a complete conflict of interest.
I think it would be. I think it would be. I don't think they were dating at the time of the accident, but I think
I don't think that they would let him be an investigator in the case, just given that he had a history with them.
I could be way off base, but I think they would probably...
I feel like in the U.S. that would totally not fly, but who knows? I don't know.
So, the detective and the discount Anthony Hopkins go to this woman's house, and they walk in, and they see the footprints on the floor, and they see footprints on the front porch and the wall of the front porch.
It's going up the wall, and I think a little bit on the ceiling. Yeah.
And so they go...
There's hands. Handprints and footprints.
So, okay. Funes, whatever the detective's name was, and the discount Anthony Hopkins, they come in and they see this kid who got hit by the bus sitting at the kitchen table. And he's got a bowl of cereal with a spoon and a glass of milk sitting there. And he is like...
Dead.
He's dead.
He's dirty. He's wearing the stuff that he was...
His funeral attire. Burial attire. Whatever he was buried in. And he's like covered in dirt and mud.
And his face is all swollen and...
His eyes are all janky and like...
So I think he looked pretty good for getting creamed by a bus.
I would think if he got hit by a bus, he'd be a little bit more mangled up. But so he's sitting there at the table, and I mean, obviously he's dead, but he's not moving. He's just sitting there.
And he's got a bowl of food, and he's got a cup of milk.
Sitting there, and he's sitting there.
Yeah. He's got one hand on the table.
like
next to the milk.
Yeah,
the
glass he's got one hand sitting next to the glass of milk. And one hand, like, kind of sitting just in front of him on the table.
It's very creepy.
It was really creepy. And like, again, we've seen this, two or three times just in the past, like, month. And, I mean, because you brought it up. You said, I mean, you wanted to watch this movie for the show. So, something, and was it the kid that like, was the ultimate, like, freaky part for this movie?
I think that... That was super creepy. So, I mean, just it was a dirt kitchen. And he's sitting there at the table, and you can see footsteps. You know.
Oh, that was another thing. I think we brought it up the very first time. Is that why are the footsteps like so? Like, I mean, the muddy or oily,
crisp and
they're crisp and clean. Like, if he had walked from the funeral home to the house, the mud would be
right. It would have been
It would have been completely, like, worn off.
But they obviously, I mean, this was the part of the storyline they wanted to make you.
Right. So, the kid is sitting there, and this detective and Anthony Hopkins, discount Anthony Hopkins, are talking about him back and forth. Like,
and they're not even afraid.
I think the detective is, but the Anthony Hopkins dude is not. I've seen this kind of stuff before.
He actually takes a spoon out of the milk. And wipes it off, and then puts it under the kid's nose.
Holds it up to his nose to see if there's any. And then it cuts away from the kid, and you see the detective and Anthony Hopkins, discount Anthony Hopkins, talking. And then suddenly you hear the glass of milk tip over.
Yeah.
And there's milk spilled all over the floor. And and now... Nancy and I actually took a picture of, we paused the movie.
Well, before you say that, there was kind of a discussion between the Anthony Hopkins guy and the detective. Like, his arm is in a different spot, or his hand is in a different spot.
Well, right. Well,
and they said, we didn't take any pictures. How do we know?
Right. Yeah, they were discussing, did his arm move, or was it in a different position?
How did that happen?
So, yeah, we actually rewound the movie, took a picture of the kid before the milk spilled, and then played the, which is pretty pathetic. We took a picture of the kid before the milk spilled, and then watched the movie back to see if it was in the same spot as it was before. And it was in the same spot, but I mean, You know, I mean, obviously somebody off screen could have just knocked the milk over, but it would have been a little bit freakier, I think, if like the hand was actually moved like slightly.
I think the fact that it didn't.
You think it worked better that it didn't?
Yeah, move? Because you're kind of like, maybe he moved his hand back. He could have.
Would that be like a feature of like rigor mortis or something? Like,
no, not.
No, I don't know.
He was already like disinterred, so I'm pretty sure that.
So they bring in a second expert, and the discount Anthony Hopkins, and this woman looks just like Joan Crawford from what did we say, Mommy Dearest, and
you said it, but
you didn't think she looked like Joan Crawford.
No, you said it, but I thought you just go on.
Okay, well, so I. Okay, I think this woman looks like Joan Crawford. So they bring her in, and she's another expert in like paranormal activity and all this kind of stuff. And the discount Anthony Hopkins is telling a story about when he was doing an autopsy on some guy, the guy moved, or yeah, he woke up, or...
It's not unusual for a body to, it's like... It's not unusual for a body to do that, especially if they're, like, expelling... gas.
Whoa. You said especially.
No, I didn't.
You did. That is a huge pet peeve of yours.
I didn't.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I said especially if they're expelling gas.
Okay. All right.
And you'll have to go back and check.
I'm gonna.
Especially if. I'm sure you will.
This is the only time.
That is not a mistake I would make.
This is the only time I get to nail you on anything.
Okay. All right. I feel bad that you're going to be wrong on it, but okay.
You're too good normally. Okay. So so he's telling the story about this guy that moved after he was supposedly dead. The dead kid, his friend comes back to retrieve some of the stuff, some of his toys and his backpack that he had left at the kid's house. And
he's picking up like army men and stuff off the ground.
Somehow he gets to the window next to the kid or the dining room where this dead kid is sitting at the table. And as he's looking in the window, first of all, he's shocked that the dead kid that he saw get creamed by the bus is sitting at the table.
Why in the hell is he sitting at the table?
And then as he's sitting there staring at the kid sitting at the table, the dead kid turns his head towards the kid
and that was at the fucking window. Freaky.
He turns his head at the window or towards the window, and the kid's friend, the dead kid's friend, goes obviously tearing off out of there.
I'd shit my pants.
So
now you're thinking maybe yes, his hand did move to knock the milk over,
and. Well, they kind of play that after, yeah, I mean, like, they play on your thoughts about how that whole situation worked out. So
it's just strange. It's strange and unsettling.
It was a little unsettling.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing the dead kid's head turn was it was just.
And we're seasoned horror movie people.
Because you weren't really, I don't know. It's one of those situations where, like, you think something's going to happen, and then you're like, no, they wouldn't be that obvious. And then it does happen,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, shit, okay.
Well, right. You think, after the milk scene, you think that this is something, like, the mom dug up the kid out of grief and put the kid there, and you're kind of like, oh, the milk could have spilled because the hands are in the same spot.
Would you do that? Would you dig up one of the kids? If they were to pass away before?
No.
No?
No, I would never do that. I
think you would.
I would not.
And if
not.
You didn't dig up the kids, you would probably sleep on the grave. I know you.
How crazy do you think I am?
I have known you for over half of my life.
No, I'm not
going to
go do that. Really?
Yeah.
You must think I'm really psycho.
It's not about being psycho. It's about loving the children.
I do love my kids.
I wouldn't call that psycho.
If you really love your kid, you're gonna go and dig them up out of their grave.
You dig me up.
Put them right up by on the kitchen table. Fix them a meal.
You dig me up. You'd use that rigor mortis to your advantage.
You'd be cremated, okay?
I do want to be cremated. Suck out my organs and just, yeah.
Yeah, me burn too. Me too.
Okay. So.
I can't believe you would even. I hope you're joking.
What, the rigor mortis part?
No. All right, moving on. Moving okay. on.
So the discount Anthony Hopkins comes back, and him and Joan Crawford take.
You gotta stop calling him that. It's played out.
What else do you call him? I don't know his real
Anthony
name.
Anthony Hopkins guy.
Yeah. What? I just. What else do you call him?
You're saying discounted Anthony. Okay, okay. We already get
so,
that. We get
okay.
That. We
so
get
he
that.
Looks like it. We'll just call him Anthony. So anyway, so Anthony and Joan come back. Joan Crawford. And they take the dead boy and they put him in the freezer. And then they call the cop, the detective, back, and they say, okay, we had to put him in the freezer because
A, and they the put something on top of the freezer to make sure.
Right. So, and yeah, it was like a giant potted plant.
Yeah.
And they put him in this freezer outside in the backyard, and the detective hears like this whimpering and like maybe a little bit of scratching. So he says to Anthony Hopkins, he says, unplug the freezer so I can listen. And so he unplugs it, and the detective puts his head right down by the freezer, and you hear like this, like whimpering, like sobbing or something. And then you get another jump scare, a slam.
And if you are unsure up until this point, then you know that
something rather disturbing is afoot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if you hadn't caught on that.
Yeah, after you see the kid's head move, if you haven't caught on by that point, you know something weird is going on. So they call in a third paranormal doc, I guess what would you call them? Like a paranormal investigator?
A parapsychologist.
So they call
in I don't know. They have to I don't know okay. what their credentials are.
Fake. So they call in a third guy, and he joins them to spend a night in each of the three houses where there's mysterious happenings going on. The mother's house with the dead child, the neighbor's house with the creepy guy, and the original man whose wife got slammed up against the walls in the shower. And this third guy is in the house of the lanky guy, the lanky creature dude. And they go into the kitchen. He's with a detective. They go into the kitchen and they see these like forks, knives, and spoons all like stuck to the cabinets in the kitchen. And they're just like
hanging off of
them. Like kind of hanging there, like magnetically like charged to the underside of the cabinet.
Yeah.
And he's playing with them. He's knocking them back and forth, listening to them twinkle and tinkle or whatever the hell you'd call it. And as he's sitting there and he's playing with them, the steak knife comes from the counter and like sticks his hand to the underside of the cabinet, and it's like stabbed through his hand. So his hand is pinned to the cabinet. And then you hear this like sucking sound, like whatever, like
slurping.
So whatever this thing is, or whatever this, like,
if you hate the sound of slurping, then you gotta fast forward through that.
Like, whatever this manifestation is in the cabinet is like sucking the blood from his hand up into the cabinet and like drinking his like essence or something. So he, the detective that's with him, calls Anthony Hopkins and says, hey, like, we got something going on. I gotta take him out of here and get him all fixed up. The Anthony Hopkins is staring out the window from across the street at the house that the detective and the third guy is in. And he's like looking back and forth, like there's two window panes, and he's like with like a divider in the middle, and he's looking back and forth. He's on like one side of the divider and he sees nothing. Then he looks back to the other side and he sees like this tall, lanky creature standing in the window. And then he goes back to the first side and it's gone. He goes back to the second side and it's there.
Long story short, it's supposed to be like one perspective. You see the lanky creature.
Right.
And then one perspective you don't.
Right. And as he's sitting there as he's sitting there looking at it, this whatever this creature thing is, this tall, lanky creature thing, appears in the window, and there's another good jump scare. Anthony Hopkins figures out somehow that there is what they call a light side and a dark side. And obviously the light side is like the reality of the real world. And the dark side is where all these creatures and like evil beings reside.
Ghouls and goblins.
What did you say? Ghouls and goblins, witches and warlocks.
Witches and warlocks wandering these aisles day after day.
So he realizes that there's like two sides to reality, a light side and a dark side. And somehow he ends up in a bar cabinet or a TV cabinet, not really an entertainment center.
I don't know what that was.
A credenza?
Like maybe a cupboard?
It had doors on either side. Is that what a credenza is? What is a credenza?
A credenza is,
I know,
like,
I've heard that word, but
it's like a big long wooden structure that had like the TV and maybe a bookcase or a place for a stereo or a record player.
I guess this could be kind of what I don't know. So it was this big wooden structure in the in the house.
It was like a cupboard.
It had
a lid onto it. Yeah.
So the cop comes over and he hears this banging coming from this wooden thing, this bar or credenza or whatever.
This extravaganza.
He opens up the door from one side and he sees nothing. He still hears the pounding and the banging coming from inside. So he moves it away from the wall and he starts knocking a hole into the back of it. And he sees Anthony Hopkins inside this cabinet. And his eyes are like all like fucked up and like not bloody
gouged
and nasty.
Yeah.
And like they were all like nasty. It looked like he had two bloody ping pong balls.
So we're seeing this perspective, which is gross. Right. And before there was nothing.
And then we go back to the third house and Joan Crawford is sitting there and this giant crack appears in the wall. And she's peering in through this crack. She's sitting right next to the wall on a chair, and she's got a flashlight, and she's peering into this crack in the wall, and she sees somebody like, I don't know, like 10 or 15 feet away, and they got like these nasty, like freaky-ass, like alligator-looking glowing eyes, and it's just a creepy, visually, it's like creepy.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who it is, but you just...
But it's like otherworldly and it's like... Creepy. See, this is where I think, and I know you love this term, this is where I think they jumped the shark. It was kind of like they didn't need to have that extra stuff to it.
You don't think so?
No, I didn't at all.
You think, I mean, the guy in the wall, you mean? Or
yeah, I didn't think that they had to have like those supernatural effects after... I mean, the silverware, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the perspective, the guy, and the credenza, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, after that, we kind of get what's going on. We don't need any more, like, special effects, or they're just going a little bit overboard, in my opinion.
Okay.
It was unnecessary.
Well, I think the only reason they had to have the crack in the wall was because three things happened in those three houses. So they had to have something happen, or something freaky.
To tie them all together.
Yeah, to tie the three houses together. And I think that's the only reason why they did that.
But
that
looking
point.
Through the crack in the wall, and to me that was just like unnecessary to the plot. Mm. No, that's just my opinion.
Okay, all right.
Which is the right opinion?
So, this woman Joan sees whoever it is, like 15 feet away.
Albrecht, Dr. Albrecht.
Okay.
So I don't even know why I remember that.
So she sees this, I may have written it down, you're probably right, but so she sees this guy like through the crack in the wall, and he's got these glowing eyes and it's all freaky looking, and then she turns away to look at the cop because the detective has showed back up at the house, and as she's turned, this like blobby, like mutated, burned looking pussy not another word. Like,
how do you spell that?
P-U-S-S-Y, isn't it? I don't know.
That's not how you spell pussy.
How do you spell pussy? P-U-S-S-I-E?
P-U-S-S-Y spells something different.
Right. So how do you spell pussy? P-U-S-Y?
Puss-like?
Pussy. How do you spell pussy?
It would be puss-like.
Pussy's a word.
Okay. All right.
You asked me.
You're not going to spell pussy, P-U-S-S-Y.
How do you spell it?
Pussy.
How do you spell pussy, then?
P-U-S-S-I-E is, I guess, how you'd spell it.
Okay, well, if you're going to get mad at me for responding to your question.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you.
Okay, but it was your question, and I answered it. So, this giant boil-filled, nasty, blobby-looking creature comes out of the wall, grabs this bitch, and pulls her into the wall and kills her.
Unnecessary.
Okay. So the kid's mom comes back to the detective ends up having a heart attack, and he somehow manages to stumble out of the room or out of the house, and he sees the dead kid's mom. She's back at her house. She's got the kid with him, and he comes up to her. So she had redug the child up, the dead kid, because they buried her again and actually put 2 bags worth of cement on top of his grave to keep him in the grave.
I don't know that the mom did it, though.
Well, she admits that she does. Because she says, you buried my child and I had to go get him again. So obviously, whatever this evil entity or spiritual...
I don't think it would be practical to think that she could do that.
I have no idea. So he ends up going to her after he's had a heart attack, and he says, hey, can you give me a ride to the hospital? Like, I'm dying here. I've had a heart attack. I need to get to the hospital. She says, oh, yeah, I'll take you. So she hops in the car, and he gets ready to get into the car, and he looks into the back seat, and he sees the dead child, again, sitting in the back seat of this woman's car. And he's like, all right, fuck this. So,
yeah.
So he gets the fuck out of there. He gets into his own car. And this Dr. Albrecht, this Joan Crawford looking Dr. Albrecht comes running out of the house, and her head is like twisted backwards and upside down, like hanging in front of her chest. And
that was the point that I said to you, no, that just was not necessary. The supernatural crap. I mean, it was very innovative again. It hadn't been done before. But for the purpose of this movie, it was not necessary. There's so many other things that you could be creeped out about. You didn't need that.
Well, what would you have done at that point? I mean, if it wasn't her coming out of the house, what would you have done, you think?
If I wanted to be, like, freaked out again?
Yeah.
I would have the kid move his head in the back seat.
That would have actually been freaky. If the kid had turned towards the detective while he was sitting
and
in
then
the back seat.
If they cut scene right there, that would have been
freaky as shit.
Yeah.
If he like turned his head and that's what drove him off instead of just seeing the kid in the back seat. I'll give you that one. And then kept the and then not had Joan Crawford, Dr. Albrecht look or come running out to him.
Yeah. That
would have been a good excuse. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
That would have been an excellent ending.
He tears off in his own car. He goes like someplace like a couple miles away or whatever and just kind of chills. And he's like, he's calling all these other cops, like, get away from that street. You don't need to be there. Get, you know, just whatever. And he himself ends up going back to the mother's house, pours gas in the whole thing or all over the whole thing. And although this part did freak you out, as he's pouring the gas, he opens the son's bedroom door, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at the son's room. And then just as he's like about ready to shut the door, the kid like pops out from behind.
Yeah, that was a good jump scare. I'll give it. And then the mom had hung herself.
Yeah, the mom had hung herself. So,
although I think that my ending would have been better.
It would have been.
I mean, that was a good jump. We could have used that jump scare before the ending, though.
We've always said we need to write our own movie.
Well, yeah, I mean.
So he ends up getting the house just about to light up on fire. And as he's trying to light these matches, Anthony Hopkins ends up appearing right next to him. And again, his eyes are all bloody and nasty and like hollow looking or puffy and just gross and nasty. And he says something to him. I don't recall what it was. But so the detective ends up scooting backwards, ends up shooting the gasoline with his gun to light it up on fire. And then we cut again. We're back at an institution now. And the original husband whose wife got destroyed in the shower, he's talking to another set of like two or three detectives. And as he's talking to them, he's like pointing out, like, you know, did you bring that guy with you? And did you bring that guy with you? And then the camera turns around and shows from his perspective, and there's nobody there. And he says, well, like, if they didn't come with you, who did they come with? And just then a chair moves by itself in like the room they're in. And then the chair comes flying at the screen for one last jump scare. And then the credits roll. So overall, I think it's a good movie. I mean,
it was surprisingly good obviously we're going to have our own little suggestions and improvements on it, but.
And I quote, you said that's one of the better horror movie or better foreign horror movies I've ever seen.
Yes.
So, okay. What do you give this on the gore score then?
Gore score as in?
Gore and violence.
I would say gore and violence.
Yeah.
The shower scene, that was at about a 9.
A 9?
Yeah.
Just that scene or the whole thing overall?
The whole thing, because the shower scene, it kind of set the tone for the entire movie.
Okay. All right. And then overall, what's your overall score?
8.
An 8? That's pretty good. Okay. All right.
This is one of those movies that if you really want to get...
This is a lights off.
Yeah.
Like hiding or like covered up on the blank, under the blanket.
This is a movie event kind of movie.
Okay.
Like I set the scene, you're gonna get scared shitless.
You're gonna get a little chilled.
This is from us, and we were like totally desensitized to that stuff.
So the only discount that I have on this movie is that there's subtitles, and a good movie with subtitles is still good, but it's hard to it's hard to catch everything because you're reading the subtitles, and there may have been subtleties that we missed because we were reading the subtitles. Like, you know, maybe the kid's hand did move and we just didn't catch it because we were reading part of the subtitle. I don't know. But, so okay.
So it took away a little bit from
just a little bit. I think on the gore score, I'm going to go with just a 5. Because after the shower scene, there wasn't really a lot of gore.
You don't think the shower scene was enough gore for the entire movie?
Not compared to some of the movies I've seen. So,
uh-huh, okay.
Just, I'm going to go with a 5, all but right. Overall, I will agree with you. And I'm going to hit an 8 on that one. I would watch this again, you know, probably around Halloween. Or this would be one to try and freak out Noreen.
Yeah, with. I was just going to say, show it to a friend that is afraid of horror movies because it's going to scare them shitless.
Jason
would
not watch this. And I think we like to, you and I personally like to kind of judge our movies on who we can show it to and who we can try and freak out. So that's part of the, now Jason is not, this is our brother-in-law. Jason is not a horror fan. Noreen does like horror, but her favorite movie is Halloween 4. So,
and she did recommend Dead Silence. So
yeah. So, but so yeah. So it's a 9 and a 9 on the gore score and an 8 overall from Nancy.
You know, this movie would be a great movie to be all like, it's a good movie. It's not that scary though. So just to have somebody watch it.
Just tell them to watch it. There's a couple little jump scares, but it's not that bad.
The plot is good. So
It does have a good plot, and I mean, with the changes that you would have made, like you said, with the kid turning his head at the very end and looking at the cop, that would have been a good ending. If he had just turned his head and the guy got in his car and drove like tore off down the road, that if he stopped it right there, that would have been a good
ending. We would have been like, that was awesome. Yeah. That was a great movie.
Now, so let me ask you then, with that ending, do you still think that the guy in the wall or the creature that came out of the wall would have been still too much, or would you have given it a pass if that was the ending?
I still think that it was too much. I don't like the supernatural thing.
Well, the whole movie is supernatural. Well,
I know you got ghosts and, you know, kids being dug up and all that stuff. Yeah. But the fantasy stuff, and the same thing that I said about The Descent.
And
Jeepers Creepers, remember? Jeepers Creepers was a really good movie until they started bringing in...
God, that pissed me off so much about that movie. Yeah. That movie was freaky until they showed the fucking creeper.
Yeah.
So, okay, was it the creature that came out of the wall, or was it the guy that was in the wall that you thought was too much?
I thought that ruined the suspension of disbelief.
The creature.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But not the lanky guy. Not the real tall, lanky dude.
No. Because that reminded me kind of like Gerald's Game. The guy in the corner.
The Moon Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that one.
That would be a good one. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, okay. There you have it. That was our opinions. And you can take them for what they're worth. But, you know, we're kind of pros. Semi-pro.
Yeah. We know what we're talking about.
We've watched a lot of horror movies. So I am Ben, and my wife, Nancy, my lovely wife, is the other half of this tremendous podcast. Tremendous? But it's a podcast. But together we are Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. You can find us on just about every podcast platform that there is out there. We do have a Patreon. The prices are $4, $6, and $8. You get some stickers, mugs. You get to offer us a would you rather. You get to give us a movie suggestion. If you join the top tier, you get everything above. Plus, you get to join us for a show, and you get free t-shirts. After a certain point, we do have a TeePublic. You can find all the information for all that stuff
on merch.
The Instagram account. Just click the link tree in the bio, and it'll take you to all our little places. But I think that's it. So, yeah, thank you for listening. I don't have anything different to say. I was going to change it up today. So for now, I will just say be safe and be good to one another. And then I will turn it over to my wonderful wife for her to say something like,
I wish you all also to be safe and also to be good to one another.
You are such a follower.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you guys next time. Be good.